Welcome Fanatic Esquire subscribers.
Patrick Berg last year.
David Horton, and welcome to the 2023 college football episode. It's that time of the year where college football and next month with the NFL will begin. Patrick and I, we are going to have a great episode for you guys with the 36th edition of the Fanatic Esquires, where we will do Patrick's Day in Sports History. We will go over some of the teams that we have selected to go over their schedules and give a prediction of how they're going to do this year, and a few honorable mentions. Then we will pick the teams that will make it to the conference championship games. And finally, we will make our four picks for the college football playoff and the national championship game and predict who will be the national champion. It's going to be a great episode, so yes, buckle up and enjoy this episode.
Yes, we've been waiting for this a long time. Yes, we have, and I'm really excited to do this episode and to preview all these teams and make our predictions for 2023. But first, we're going to do this day in sports history, August 22nd, 1927, Babe Ruth hits his 40th home run of his historic 60 home run season in New York's 9-4 loss to the Cleveland Indians at Dunn Field. 1950, Althea Gibson becomes the first black competitor in a U.S. national tennis competition. 1959, the American Football League, the AFL, is officially named at a meeting in Dallas, Texas. The charter member cities include Dallas, New York, Houston, Denver, Los Angeles, and Minneapolis, St. Paul. 1975, McNichols Sports Arena in Denver, Colorado opens. 2004, American sprinter Justin Gatlin wins the Olympic 100-meter gold medal in Athens at 9.85 seconds, right ahead of Francis Obiquelu of Portugal and American Maurice Green.
Awesome, Patrick. That was a great day in sports history. Love the fact about Babe Ruth hitting his 40th home run for his historic 60 home run season that he had. And along with the formation of the AFL, which we now know as the AFC Conference in the NFL. So that is a nice tie-in to the episode that we will preview next month with the NFL.
Yes, indeed. It was a lot of great events happened today. It was really nice to discover that and to convey that to our listeners.
Also, the note about the 2004 Athens Olympics.
Oh yes, that was a great accomplishment. Always, the 100-meter gold medal is one of the most prestigious gold medals in the world. Whenever it comes Olympic time,
we will start it off with previewing the selection of teams that we are going to focus on, talk about their schedules, and preview how they're going to do. We're going to start off with the local schools with first Alabama Crimson Tide, and I will pass the mic over to Patrick to lead us to discussing about the Crimson Tide and how he thinks they are going to do this season.
Yes, the Crimson Tide came off of a 2-loss season last year. They did win the Sugar Bowl against Kansas State to end the Bryce Young era and Will Anderson era on a high note despite not making the playoffs. They replace Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator in 2023. They bring in Tommy Reese from Notre Dame. He will come in to oversee the Bama attack, and probably like other coaches that come through the Nick Saban coaching tree or the coaching gig, we'll parlay that to a head coaching job at probably a Power 5 score, Group of 5 at the least. And he's gonna, and they are deciding who's going to be the quarterback this year. There's Jalen Milroe, who got some time last year, played in relief of Bryce Young at times. The Arkansas game and A&M game stick out. Ty Simpson, he suffered an elbow injury in the offseason. And then there's Notre Dame transfer Tyler Buckner. Receiving, they're going to have, they're going to return Jermaine Burton and Ja'Cory Brooks. They will have Isaiah Bond, JUCO transfer Malik Benson, and Maryland transfer CJ Dupree. There's going to be a lot of great depth at the offensive line. I mean, it's young, but they're going to be surrounding future pro J.C. Latham. It's likely that sophomore Tyler Booker will start at right guard. There's freshman Caden Proctor, sophomore Elijah Pritchett for the all-important left tackle spot. They're competing there. Darren Dalcourt has beefed up to play some left guard this season, and senior Seth McLaughlin could be the center. The running backs will be led by Jace McClellan, and Justice Haynes, top freshman, has been really impressing the coaching staff and could see substantial action. Defense, Chris Braswell will move into Will Anderson's spot at the jack position. He's going to be paired with Dallas Turner. Deontay Lawson will get tons of tackle in the middle, and then there's Georgia transfer Tresman Marshall on the outside. The smallest person for the front three is 292 pounds. The rest are 300 plus. And then there's also the Alabama vaunted secondary led by Khalil McKinstry, who's looking to have a great season as he's going to probably be a top cornerback off the board next year in the NFL draft. There's also Trey Amos, a Louisiana Lafayette transfer, safety Malachi Moore. He's probably the second most hyped player on this defense. And the other safety spot will be played by either UAB transfer Jalen Key or Caleb Downs, another elite recruit. And I guess we'll go down the schedule. Alabama starts off with Middle Tennessee on September 2nd. Next is Texas. Next they go to South Florida. Then they return home for a game against Ole Miss. Then they go to Starkville to play at Mississippi State. Then the next weekend they go to College Station to play Texas A&M. Then they return home for three home games. The first on October 14th they will play Arkansas. Next week they will play Tennessee, and then 2 weeks from then they will play LSU, and then they go on the road to Lexington to play Kentucky. They return home for their cupcake game against Chattanooga, and then they wrap everything up by going to the Plains to play Auburn. And I will preview and I expect the three trap games that they will face. A total of four trap games, I believe. The Texas game, the second game of the season, I believe, will be a trap game because Texas is bringing a lot of talent in. They almost beat Alabama last year, but Alabama is playing at home, so that will be a trap game. A&M, last time Alabama went to College Station, they lost that game. It was a throwing game. They ended up losing that game. The Tennessee game, they lost Tennessee last year. They're hosting this year. That could be a trap game. Tennessee is top 10 in the country. They brought in a top recruiting class as well. And then the Auburn game at Auburn is a trap. It could be a trap game as well. Alabama tends to struggle when they go to Auburn and Jordan Hare and Hugh Freeze. His first season, he brought in a top transfer portal recruiting class. I believe their recruiting class total was top 20. And with Hugh Freeze manning the coaching them, I believe that they will be formidable. And looking at those 12 games, I predict that Alabama ultimately comes out 10-2. I believe that they will lose their road game against Texas A&M. I just believe that A&M team that almost beat Alabama at home with Jalen Milroe, I believe that they will be 1 year more mature. I think that they will figure out how to integrate Bobby Petrino into the play calling, but also Jimbo Fisher will keep his leadership role as the head coach and then primary play call. They will find synergy there, and it's insanely hard to play at Texas A&M no matter how bad or good that team is. And I believe that will be the case this year, especially with that top recruiting class being a year older and more mature. I think that they will lose that particular game. And LSU, next to the talent that LSU brings back for 2023, I also conclude that LSU, the last two times they went to Bryant-Denny, the first in 2019, they beat them in one of the great games of all time. And 2 years ago, with a team that did not belong on the same field with Bryce Young, and it was the end of Coach O's tenure at LSU. He was a sitting duck. He was a lame duck at that time, and that team was not very good. They barely made a bowl game that year. They pushed Alabama to the limit. I think it came down to one final play, a Hail Mary at the end of the game, and they almost beat them with a very bad team against one of the best teams that Alabama put on the field, and probably would have won the championship if not for a couple of bad injuries at the end of the season. And I think that this will be another one of those game of the century games, and I think that Jaden Daniels and that team will bring it. and they will clinch the SEC West in this game, and they will clinch their spot in the playoff and probably the number one ranking in this particular game, and LSU will win back-to-back against Bama this year.
All right. So don't discount out that Texas game in week two as one of their potential losses, because I think Ewers or Arch Manning might be quarterback at Texas, but it's probably going to be Ewers, and Texas have experience, you know, with Alabama being able to play against them last year in Texas. I believe that my prediction for Alabama this year is 10-2, because I have them losing at 23 Texas A&M or at Auburn. Those games at Auburn have been tricky for Nick Saban and Alabama. And if Hugh Freeze can be able to pull it off in his first year with Auburn by beating Alabama, I would have to say, regardless of whatever the record will be for Auburn, Auburn fans would consider that as a successful season. And I'm going to say that they are going to lose that game at Texas A&M. And also, they will beat your LSU Tigers. But we will save the discussion with LSU for later in the episode. But most likely, I have them losing at Texas A&M and maybe the Texas game in week two. I'm going to go with those two games as the losses for Alabama. But Alabama is still going to be talented. They're going to be able to compete for the SEC West. They will still be good. Alabama 10-2. And speaking about Alabama's rival, Auburn, Auburn will be starting a new regime with Hugh Freeze named as the head coach this offseason. They will have to determine whether if Robbie Ashford will be the starting quarterback. And I think they were having a quarterback competition to figure out if Robbie Ashford will hold on to the starting quarterback position with Auburn. And I think he will ultimately be named the starter for Auburn this season. I do think that Auburn will be going to a bowl game this year with Hugh Freeze, and I have their record being 6-6. It would be pretty good for what Hugh Freeze, the situation that he got into and the players that were there and all he had to do with the transfer portal and recruiting. I would say 6-6, 7-5 at best would be a great first season for Auburn, and I have them having their losses at Texas A&M, at home against number one Georgia, at Patrick's LSU Tigers, versus Ole Miss, at Arkansas, and versus Alabama.
Yeah, yes. Hugh Freeze, when he came in and with what he had, he did a great job, I think, with at least in terms of setting the tone. He brought in the nation's 18th ranked recruiting class, which, given the nature of college recruiting and, you know, and the changing coaches, that is still pretty huge. And he got the 5th-ranked transfer class to the barn. He brings in former Tulsa head coach and Baylor offensive coordinator Philip Montgomery and former Baylor defensive coordinator Ron Roberts. It appears that it's likely that Peyton Thorne will be the top gun quarterback. But Robbie Ashford is one of the best runners in college football in the SEC in college football. And if Thorne gets that job, which it's possible he will be throwing to leading yardage receiver Javarius Johnson and Coy Moore, and they will be augmented by North Texas transfer Jair Shorter, Jackson State transfer Shane Hooks, and FIU tight end transfer Rivaldo Fairweather. The Auburn rushing attack was really great last year. They averaged 200 yards a game. They undergo a full overhaul. A lot of transfers coming into the offensive line. East Carolina transfer center Avery Jones, Tulsa transfer tackle Dylan Wade, and Western Kentucky transfer tackle Gunnar Britton, and Jarquez Hunter and USF transfer Brian Batty will be the running backs. Defensively, Kentucky transfer Justin Rogers will be the big man in the middle. Maryland transfer Mosiah Nasili-Kite will be next to Rodgers, and the pass rush gets a boost from App State transfer Jaron McLeod. Cam Riley is back as the man in the middle of the second level of the defense, but will have to hold off Ole Miss transfer Austin Keys and North Texas transfer Larry Nixon, as they will be great at outside linebacker. Secondary is way more experienced than these first two levels, as Kalonte Scott and Jalen Simpson hold down the safety spots, and DJ James and Nehemiah Pritchett are touted to be the among the best corner tandems in the entire country going in. I do differ a little. I think that they will pull some upsets along the way. I think that they will finish 8-4, which I also believe is their ceiling at this point in the season, at this season. But I think that they will. I think that with Freeze coming in and with him doing such a great job at the transfer portal, they can reach that ceiling. And it's possible that they will. That they could lose to Arkansas and Ole Miss, and obviously I have them losing to Alabama as well. But I have their losses being to A&M, then next week at Georgia, and then next week to LSU, and then they will win their homestead against their home stand against against Ole Miss. They will go on the road and pull off a huge win against at Arkansas, and they will lose to Alabama, but it will be one of the great games in that rivalry's history.
Yes, we will see. 8-4, that could be a possibility, but I think 7-5 might be a realistic possibility in terms of what Auburn will do this year.
It'll probably be in the middle because I have their floor probably being 5-7 or 4-8 at the very worst.
All right, now to our home city university, UAB Blazers, with Trent Dilfer, and I will allow Patrick to give an overview of the team and what he thinks that Trent Dilfer will be able to do in his first year at the helm for UAB.
Yes, the Blazers begin their American Athletic Conference membership this year. They bring in head coach Trent Dilfer. He was previously an analyst for ESPN. He did the Trent Dilfer quarterback camp, I believe it was, the quarterback show. And his previous post was head coach at Lipscomb Academy in, I believe, in Nashville, Tennessee. Yes, the point man for the Blazers at QB will be former Baylor Bear Jacob Zeno. And he did well in spot duty last year. He'll get a ton of help from Tajuan Palmer and Samaria Rudolph from the outside receivers. The Blazers replaced their O-line starters from last year, but all five of their understudies remain and will take over to open holes for the new top gun for their running back, Jermaine Brown, who did very well last year as understudy to pro running back Dwayne McBridge. Dilfer's defensive coordinator from Lipscomb, Sione Tuatofau, sorry if I mispronounced that, but he will be the defensive coordinator. And the front line is huge and will be talented enough to occupy blockers to enable the relatively inexperienced linebacking core to make plays. This front line it consists of Drew Tuizama, 6'6", 305-pound Fish McWilliams, and 6'6", 340 Tyreek Howard. The linebackers consist of Michael Fairbanks as a hybrid edge option and 235-pound Jackson Bratton should lead the team in tackles. The secondary consists of the corner tandem of Mac McWilliams and Colby Dempsey, and the safety pair of Damon Miller and Keandre Swoops. And I have this team finishing 7-5 in year one of the Dilfer era. Their losses will be to Louisiana Lafayette, at Georgia, at Tulane. They will lose to Memphis at home, and they will lose to at Navy.
We have the same record, Patrick, 7-5. I think they're going to beat Louisiana Lafayette, and I have them losing at Georgia, at Tulane, at UTSA versus Memphis at home, and at North Texas. 7-5 will be a great first season for Trent Dilfer and will continue the winning legacy that the UAB program has had in recent years.
Yes, it will. I think it would be a great stepping stone, and I could definitely see the ceiling being 8-4 if they were able to pull one of those upset wins. That would be really great, and it would be a really great thing for the city and for UAB. And then transitioning to the other hometown team, my alma mater, the Stanford Bulldogs. They're coming off of their best season record-wise since 1991. They won in 2022. They won the SoCon, the Southern Conference, outright, and they advanced all the way to the FCS quarterfinals as a sixth overall seed before losing to runner-up North Dakota State in FCS. They are led by Mike Leach's disciple, rest in peace, Coach Chris Hatcher, and the offense. And they enter 2023 as the number 8 team in the FCS preseason poll and it all revolves around returning All-American quarterback Michael Hyers and his right-hand man, wide receiver Chandler Smith. Jabari Brooks will anchor everything on the offensive line, and Chandler Smith will have help from 2022 All-Ivy wide receiver Penn transfer R.J. Starkey. Samford returns 7 full-time starters. Also helping Smith and Starkey are DJ Reyes and Ty King. Leading rusher Jay Stanton returns as well, and Luke Byrne and Chris Noble return to help Brooks. Don't forget DeMonte Witherspoon, all Ohio Valley Conference running back from Murray State, coming in to help Stanton as well. On the defense, last year's Achilles heel, they gave up 25.5 points per game, and they can't really use last year's Georgia game because Georgia only scored 33 on it, so it can't really skew that total, that average, that much. However, last year's leaders in tackles for loss, sacks, and pass breakups return for 2023. Noah Martin and Thomas Neville returned as starting linebackers. Joseph Mara returned to defensive end, and he led the team in sacks last year. And defensive back Fred Flavors returns, but Samford also largely acquired talent from the transfer portal to help out in 2023. That talent includes 5 defensive back transfers, linebacker Garrett Morris from Penn, Pennsylvania, and DB Cameron Smith from Charleston Southern. And I have the Bulldogs going 10-1 in their 11-game schedule. They will lose at Auburn, but I would never overlook Furman and Mercer. They are the other teams that I believe are ranked coming into this season. We will play Furman at home, and obviously, as is the norm, we have to win that game, and that's a big rivalry game. And we play at Mercer and Macon, which could be a trap game because Mercer is another team that always nips at our heels ever since they've joined the SoCon. But I believe that Samford will continue their tradition of excellence that started last year and will go 10-1 and win the SoCon outright again.
I wrote down 10-2. I guess they play 11 games instead of 12.
I got down 11.
Well, I guess I have them going 9-2. Have them losing at Auburn and at Mercer on Veterans Day. Because when I was taking a look at the schedule, I figured that Auburn game would be a loss. If they found a way to win that one, that would be a rough start for Hugh Freeze. Yeah. And Auburn, they would probably call for his job if that happened. Hopefully that won't happen for our Auburn friends and subscribers. But the Mercer game at Mercer, that's going to be a tough one for you guys.
Yeah, I put that down as a trap game. So I mean, the big game is going to be Furman, and that's going to be the home game. So that's a good thing for us. But the trap game, or the game that's really dangerous, especially coming at the end of the season, whenever the margin of error is so small in a very good conference with that as 3 teams in the top 25 preseason, Mercer is a trap. Is that we have to play? We have to be at the top of our game in that game. We cannot lay an egg in that game, especially when it comes down to seeding and winning in Southern Conference as well. We need to get that top seed so we get a bye and we can at least advance, probably hopefully to the quarterfinals, maybe further than that. And then now we're going to the Texas Longhorns. The Longhorns brought in 2023's third-ranked recruiting class. They replaced Bijan Robinson, now a stud in the pros, with a platoon of Jonathan Brooks, Jaden Blue, and Keelan Robinson, with Brooks likely to be the top gun as the Longhorns return probably the best or most experienced starting 5 offensive line in the Big 12, led by cap tackles Kelvin Banks and Christian Jones. But potential all-Big 12 seasons could come from the other starters as well. Depth is a tad thin, but good youth are waiting in the wings. The wide receiving core consists of Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittingham, and tight end Jatavian Sanders. Texas also brings in Georgia transfer Adonai Mitchell and former Wyoming transfer Isaiah Neer. Quarterback Quinn Ewers will get the ball to start the year, but Arch Manning should get some spot duty along with Malik Murphy. So that's a lot of weapons for Steve Sarkisian to work with and have a lot of fun, especially coming off that great first year, that great second year he had last year. But they have a lot to build on for sure. And on the defensive side of the ball, the secondary returns safeties Jaron Thompson and Jade Barron, and corner Ryan Watts. The third level brings in Wake Forest transfer Gavin Holmes at corner and Arkansas transfer Jalen Catalan at safety. Comprising the linebacking core will be tackling machine Jalen Ford, David Gabinda, and superstar recruit Anthony Hill. The line consists of future pro prospects T'Vondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, and Baron Sorrell should easily terrorize quarterbacks. As for the schedule, I have them going 11-1. They will lose. Their only loss of the season will be at Alabama. However, the trap games that they should definitely look out for, beware for, the Oklahoma game, the Kent State game, and when they go to Fort Worth to play TCU, the returning runner-ups of last year at college football, and the team that ultimately advanced to the Big 12 championship game last year. So they need to be aware of that. But I do have them going 11-1.
11-1. Wow. Okay. I have them going 10-2. I originally put down that loss at Alabama, but I switched it up in terms of when we previewed Alabama, having Alabama losing that game to Texas. I have them losing at TCU and at Iowa State, but I could also see them losing the game against Kansas State because Coach Bowles is a good head coach and he always has his teams prepared, and Kansas State will be another team that will contend for that Big 12 title. But 10-2, and I hope I can be able to see some of the games that Arch Manning will get some mop-up duty if they're dominating, winning big. I'm guess ready to see what he can be able to do, if he can be able to live up to his uncles Peyton and Eli Manning. So, and definitely in week two with that game at Alabama, we'll see if Texas is really back.
Yeah, you don't want to be too big for your britches. They had a great season last year, and you don't want that to be a fluke. I mean, they brought in the third-ranked recruiting class of this year, and they're bringing all these great transfer talent, great regular talent, great returning, and Steve Sarkisian did a great job last year, and I think they would be the breakout team of 2023, I'm thinking, this year, to take the leap forward and really become the one of the dominant teams in the country this year. But it all comes down to maturity and great coaching at the top. And I think that Sarkisian coming from the Saban school, the Saban rehab that he got, I think that will parlay itself to a great season, a breakout season for that squad.
Now to Brooks's team, Ole Miss, and with Lane Kiffin, I believe Jacqueline Dart will be the starting quarterback. Am I right, Patrick? I mean, you have more tabs on who's starting and who's returning.
It seems that Jackson Dart would probably be, at first instance, I think Jackson Dart will be, it appears he will be the starter, returning starter, but fending off Oklahoma State transfer Spencer Sanders and LSU transfer Walker Howard, that's going to be tough. But I see him returning as a starter this year.
I mean, regardless, if it's Jackson Dart or Spencer Sanders, which somehow I didn't realize that he transferred to Ole Miss, they'll be in good shape in terms of the offense. And for the defensive side, they brought defensive coordinator Pete Golden from Alabama, and I think Pete Golden will have an impact that on the defensive side, not last year, but 2 years ago, where that defense was pretty good and respectable. And I think that Pete Golden will bring that Ole Miss defense back to that level. It might take a little bit for them to understand his system, like a few games, but when it gets towards the end of the season, I think the Ole Miss defense will be good. And I have Ole Miss's record 9-3. I have their losses at Alabama, at Georgia, and the Egg Bowl game at Mississippi State. And they will beat this year Patrick's LSU Tigers.
Yes, it's remarkable to see all the transfers that Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding brought in this year with the transfers they got. But not only that, Quinshon Judkins returns after running for over 1,500 yards and 16 touchdowns last year. And not only that, Ulysses Bentley will be the backup, so that's going to be crazy for that offense to just operate within. And also, they have a veteran offensive line who will create great learning lines, but they need to do better pass protection. They stink last year, and those games got away from them, even though they almost beat Alabama, though, but they did get blown up by LSU. I mean, and supplementing Jordan Watkins and Dayton Wade at the wide receiver, Kiffin brought in Texas A&M's Chris Marshall, Louisiana Tech's Trey Harris, UTSA's Zachary Franklin, and not only and helping Michael Trigg at tight end will be Memphis's Caden Prescorn. Not only and then in defense, they got NC State transfer Joshua Harris. They got Louisville transfer in the linebacking core, Maya Montgomery. Then you have the secondary with Georgia Tech's Zamari Walton, Florida Atlantic's T.J. Young, Miami University's of Ohio, John Saunders Jr., safety. And I have them finishing 7-5 this year. And that's because I took a flyer and I took a very big risk. And I picked them to lose to Tulane when they go to Tulane to Yeoman Stadium on September 9th. I think that it'll be one of the classic game, non-conference games of the season. I think Tulane pulls it out. I think they will lose at Alabama. I think they will lose to LSU. LSU will get revenge for 2 years ago. They will lose at Auburn in one of the big wins of Hugh Freeze's early tenure at Auburn. And they will lose at Georgia. But they will win the rest of their games. They will pull off the game. They will pull off a big win over A&M. And they will win the Egg Bowl. So I think 7-5 should be is a great season. It's kind of the middle. I think their floor is probably going to be 8-4. Their ceiling is probably going to be 9-3. Were they to pull off an upset, were they to beat Tulane and Auburn or LSU, I really hope that doesn't happen. But regardless, I think their ceiling is 9-3, and their floor is probably going to be 6-6. So I think this is right where they will probably be at the end of the season this year.
So 7-5 for Ole Miss.
7-5 for Ole Miss.
I got 9-3. All right, now to Memphis with Ryan Silverfield in his third year as the head coach for Memphis. And last year they had kind of a somewhat disappointing season to my expectations last year. They still went 6-6 and went to a bowl game. I believe that they will be greatly improved from that season, and I am taking the very optimistic approach of how their season is going to be by with their record being 9-3. I have them losing against Missouri. That game is a neutral site game in St. Louis, at North Texas and at Temple. And they will pull off an upset win at home against Tulane. And I know that the Memphis crowd will be ready for that game. That game will be on ESPN, and it will be at home. It's going to be a hard-fought game, but Memphis will pull off the win against Tulane. And I have them going 9-3. I think they'll come up a little bit short competing for the American Athletic Conference, you know, championship game because of their record. But 9-3 will be a great season for Coach Silverfield and the Memphis Tigers.
That's a good ceiling. I think there will be a little less than that, but they do return quarterback Seth Hannigan, who returns after a stellar past 2 years and played behind an experienced starting five offensive line, which hopes to make a leap forward in pass protection quality. Jevion Ducker and Brandon Thomas look to be the top backs entering 2023, but Old Dominion transfer Blake Watson can do a thing or two as well. The entire defense brings back edge rusher extraordinaire Jalen Allen, and Kamonte Hamilton will do his part on the other side. They do lose their interior, so replacing that will mean a ton. The corners are set, and the linebacking core will build around Jeffrey Kenton-Arku in the middle, but the safeties will need to build up depth, and I think that those holes will contribute to them finishing 7-5. In my prediction, they will lose at home against Navy. They will lose in their neutral game against Missouri. They will lose at home against Tulane. They will lose to South Florida, and they will lose to SMU. So they will finish 7-5, but still go to a bowl game and still maintain a good healthy standard of succeeding and doing well.
All right, 7-5. All right, now to Patrick's team, LSU Tigers, and I'm just going to allow Patrick to speak.
Yes, Brian Kelly, after one of the great coaching jobs in history last year, leading LSU that should not have been anywhere near an SEC championship game to win the SEC West, beating Alabama at home for the first time in 12 years, even though they alternate with the home and road, but first time in 12 years they've beaten Alabama at home, winning SC West, winning 10 games. It was one of the great coaching jobs of all time with a team that should not have been anywhere near an SC championship game, but they made it. and he brought in the nation's sixth-ranked recruiting class and second-ranked transfer portal class, which is underrated because look at Nick Saban, look at Alabama. Their transfer portal class is not ranked in the top 10. I don't think they're ranked anywhere. I mean, they brought in the number one-ranked recruiting class, but transfer, they did not bring in a top 10 or top anything transfer class. So, you know, keep in mind that in the new world of transfer portals and people moving in and out. But the preview, LSU returns four of the starting five on the offensive line for 2023, including my high school alma mater alumnus, Emory Jones from Catholic High. That's for you Baton Rouge people out there, Catholic High. And Will Campbell. Jaden Daniels returns at quarterback. Josh Williams and Noah Kane are going to do damage at running back. But don't forget, John Emery Jr. returns after his academic problems, and he will be playing on the team this year. So then now there will be a platoon of just tremendous running backs. And not only that, Notre Dame transfer Logan Diggs is playing for us too. So how Mike Denbrock and Brian Kelly handle that will be tremendous, because Brian Kelly's sport forte is not only tight ends, but also the offensive line. At wideout, the Tigers will be led by Malik Nabers at wide receiver, who looks to be one of the best prospects in the NFL for next year, and Mason Taylor, a tight end, big Brian Kelly favorite, and they will be helped by ULL transfer Kyron Lacy and Brian Thomas. And also don't forget the superstar recruit, four-star, from my high school alma mater, Shelton Sampson, a wide receiver, so hopefully he will see some time, not have redshirt, and he will be good to go. Defense. It all begins and ends with not only the top defender in the country, not hyperbole. He really came on last year, at the end of last year, and he will be a dominating force this year. The sophomore linebacker, Harold Perkins. But also, 6'6", 310 defensive tackle, Mason Smith, will be the marquee player after missing all of last year with a torn ACL suffered in the very first game against Florida State, and ensures to wreak havoc in opposing backfields. And he will be teamed with Mekki Wingo and West Virginia transfer Jordan Jefferson. They will have a stout front. On the ends, Brian Kelly did some great transfer portal work with Savion Jones to be a top pass rusher, and Texas transfer Ovi Okwufo, Oregon Braden Swinson, and Arizona transfer Paris Shand. They will all factor in the rotation. Next, and Perkins is not without help at the linebacker level. Oregon State transfer Oman Spates and Greg Penn will help this great core. At the corners, LSU counts on Texas A&M transfer Denver Harris and Southeastern Louisiana transfer Zaya Alexander to make immediate impacts, alongside Ohio State transfer J.K. Johnson and sophomore LaTerrence Welch. The safeties will be fine with Syracuse transfer Deuce Chestnut helping Major Burns and Greg Brooks. And Damian Ramos, the GOAT, as people will say, of last year's Florida State game, he will again be the place kicker. And in spite of getting his kick blocked at the end of the Florida State game, he did only miss one field goal in that game, and he made the rest. And the rest of the season, actually, was 10 for 14 on field goal attempts and 96.5% on PATs. I'm sure that 3.5% came from that block against Florida State, or a big portion of that one, I would say. So the schedule, they open up on Sunday night, September 3rd, in Orlando, Florida, against Florida State in a revenge game. I am going bold. I am going to maybe jump the gun a little, because it's only year two, but some great things have happened in year two, especially in LSU this year. And I think that with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, and you have Harold Perkins and Mason Smith, and these guys, and Malik Mabers ready to break out and do a lot of great things, even though this team is more talented on the back end. They probably will be. There are set up for the year 3 and 4, but I think for year 2, I'm going to go with LSU running the table this year. I think they will go undefeated and win the SC West and repeat as SC West champs. However, this year does not come without peril to that opportunity happening. Florida State, the two games I can see LSU being in most danger of losing is the Florida State game one. That team is going to be stacked coming into this year, returning so many players, but also bringing a lot of great transfers as well. I don't consider Alabama a trap game. I think they are in danger of losing that game, but I will lean on LSU winning because of their past experience of going in there and playing really well, and they are familiar with their surroundings, and they will be familiar enough to play really well and and win and triumph this time again. I do think Ole Miss will be a trap game. They are playing at Vaught-Hemingway. Playing in the Grove and playing against that team is always tough to do, especially with it being a rivalry game. And I think that they better cross their T's and dot their I's for this game and have all their ducks in a row, because if they do not, Ole Miss can jump on us and win. But I do have LSU. I'm running the table and going 12-0 and winning the SEC West again, repeating as SEC West champs.
Undefeated. I have LSU not going undefeated. I'm going to be realistic. Yes, LSU has a really talented team that is coming back, but there are some games on their schedules. There's some games on their schedule that they are bound to lose, and there might be one or two games that they should win and they find a way to lose. But I am sticking with the first loss, like I predicted last year, with Florida State. Mike Norvell, Jordan Travis, Tufali, Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson on the offensive side, and then on the defensive side with Jared Verse and Dorian Lovett. No, sorry, Fabian Lovett Sr. Buffoon at the linebacker position. Florida State is stacked, and they're playing in Orlando, which is a quasi home game for Florida State, and Mike Norvell will have them ready to play and take care of business. So that will be LSU's first loss. And then the second loss would be at Ole Miss. Ole Miss will defend home field advantage and get revenge on LSU on the butt whooping that LSU gave to them last year. And at Alabama, because the last time that LSU played at Alabama, Patrick and I were there. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that again, because that game, which I thought it was going to be a blowout by Alabama, was actually a surprising good game with Coach O's last stand as the head coach. But 9-3 and not winning the SEC West. Maybe 10-2, but not going undefeated. I know Patrick is being a homer, but I will admit, if they did do it, which I don't think will happen, because September 3rd, Florida State will take care of business and win. But if they do go undefeated, I will go on here and say, Patrick, congratulations. You were right about LSU.
And the expectations from last year really set the table for this year. And I think that with those expectations and with the talent, I think that the realistic floor for this team is the 9-3 that you said. But I think we're ready to hit that ceiling. We're ready to burst through and burst through the ceiling and make that run. You know, make that run. This century has been a century of a lot of great SC teams. LSU has broken out and won three titles. And I think they're ready to take that next step. But they have to do it with the regular season, and going 12-0 will accomplish that for sure. And now to David's Florida State Seminoles.
Yes, with Mike Norvell in his, I think in his third year at Florida, or it might be his fourth year at Florida State. Regardless, this season is the make it or break it year for Mike Norvell, and I believe that he will rise to the occasion, because this team, as Patrick mentioned, is stacked. Mike Norvell did well with the recruiting and also in the transfer portal too. And with having the stud and Heisman Trophy dark horse candidate, I'm not going to say he's going to win it because I don't want to jinx him, but Jordan Travis at the helm at quarterback. As I mentioned, Trey Benson and Tufali will be manning the stable at the running back. They have Johnny Wilson coming back, the big 6'7 wide receiver, NFL prospect. And then the offensive line is returning a good part of their starters. And on the defensive side, the stud, Jared Verse, will continue to grow and become one of the top pass rushers. And then Fabian Lovett Sr. will be in the middle of that defensive line, having Buffoon at the linebacker position. The secondary position with the cornerbacks and the safeties are going to be great and talented also. And having our kicker returning back is going to be key too. And I think building off of what Florida State did last year, and Mike Norvell having them going, I think, 9-3 or 10-2 last season sets up for a historic and comeback season to relevancy in the college football landscape, not only in the ACC, but nationally. And I have Florida State going 11-1. Their only loss will be at Clemson. It's always tough with Clemson. It's a rivalry game. Dabo Swinney has a talented team, having the quarterback, I think Klubnik, at quarterback. They're going to be loaded, and it's always tough at Death Valley. Well, now, Patrick will argue maybe that it's the fake Death Valley, but Clemson is going to be tough. It's going to be a dogfight, but 11-1, they will win the ACC Atlantic division and be representing the ACC in the conference championship game.
I have Florida State going 11-1 too. I have their only loss being to LSU, of course. I think they will pull the major win over Clemson, and that will be one of the highlights of the season. But I had them going undefeated in the ACC. I think that this team, with Mike Norvell going into his fourth season, the progress that has been made each and every single year after coming off the disaster of last decade, I think that with Jared Verse, Trey Benson, Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson, the transfers he brought in with Casey Riddick at offensive guard, UTEP transfer Jeremiah Byers at offensive tackle, line being helped by Fabian Lovett, senior, and Western Michigan transfer Braden Fisk. The greatness of the corners and the linebackers and the safeties. I think that this team is tailor made to go 11-1. Against the schedule, even though never ever overlook your rivalry games against Florida. You're playing them at the Swamp. It's the final game of the season. Florida will probably be coming off of a rather struggling year without Anthony Richardson and Billy Napier's second year. They want to spoil their rival's good season, that knock them out of the playoff, whoever it is. So do not overlook Florida when you go into the end of the season. Florida State, losing to LSU is enough, but you can still overcome that and beat Clemson and take out some solid AC competition to an extent, because you're not playing North Carolina, but you're still playing Wake Forest, and you're playing, I guess you're playing Virginia Tech for whatever that's worth, even though you're not playing them at VT, because that place is notoriously hard to play at. But do not overlook Florida. That will be the make or break for your season. And like it happened to Clemson last year, like it happened to Tennessee when they played South Carolina, those things can go by the wayside, and you do not overlook that team and do not overlook that game either, even when you have everything clinched.
Mike Norvell will have them ready for that game against Florida.
Okay, and now our honorable mentions. We go with the returning runner-up of last year, who gets a new addition, though? The TCU Horned Frogs add Kendall Briles as the new offensive coordinator. And not only that, the starter for last season before Max Duggan came in and replaced him, Chandler Morris, is back. And he will have returning receiver Savion Williams, all Big 12 tight end Jared Wiley, and helped by Alabama transfer JoJo Earl, Oklahoma State transfer JP Richardson, and LSU transfer Jack Betch. The running back core will be led by Alabama transfer Trey Sanders, and they will be running behind a great offensive line. For the defense, outside linebacker Johnny Hodges and middle linebacker Jamoy Hodge will combine for a ton of tackles, because the front three will occupy blockers largely due to 320-pound demonic Williams. Quarterback Josh Newton and safeties Mark Perry and Millard Bradford are looking for breakout all Big 12 seasons, and Florida transfer Avery Helm seeks to help them a lot too. Their schedule: I have TCU going 10-2. They will lose at Kansas State. Manhattan's such a hard place to play. They will not get revenge on Kansas State for last year. They will lose there, and they will lose at home against Texas. This is going to be Texas' year in the Big 12, and I see them losing those games. However, I would warn them against overlooking Colorado and Oklahoma at Norman. Do not overlook Oklahoma at Norman ever. I don't care how bad they're playing or whether they're having a mediocre year. They will bite you if you do not play well against them at on the road. And I could see that happening, but I still have them going 10-2. And in a preview of what's happening next, what we're going to discuss after our honorable mentions, finishing second in the overall Big 12, leading to a All-Texas Big 12 conference, a conference championship showdown.
Give a shout out to Graydon starting his freshman year at TCU. Proud of you. Hope that you do well. For TCU, I have them going 9-3. I have them losing at Iowa State. Don't discount Iowa State. At Iowa State, you know, in Ames with Matt Campbell at the helm. Those games are tough regardless how, whatever the record is for Iowa State. Those games are going to be tough. I have them losing at Kansas State and at Oklahoma. I have them beating Texas, as I mentioned when I went over, you know, for the preview for Texas. TCU will hold the line and give Texas a nice farewell gift before they head to the SEC next year.
All right, well, I guess we're kind of somewhat similar, different losses, but still like kind of the same wavelength there. And our next honorable mention, the South Carolina Gamecocks, Williams-Brice, Columbia, South Carolina, our colleague Richard's alma mater. Obviously, we have to bring him a shout out so he'll listen to this episode. But yes, and South Carolina, Shane Beamer. They finished strong last year. They beat Clemson, you know, just upset Clemson and just destroyed their season in terms of their playoff hopes. And it all starts at the top with quarterback Spencer Rattler coming off a great 2022 where he threw for 3,000 yards. He will be throwing to Antoine Wells and tight end Trey Knox. The offensive line will have some improvement to make, and the tackle should be okay, but the interior will need help. And Juju McDowell leads the running back rotation. For the defense, Tonka Hemingway will anchor the interior, and getting Jordan Strahan back from a torn ACL helps that level of defense too. At the linebacker level, Debo Williams is good on the weak side, and Muhammad Kaba returns from a knee injury to man the middle, so expect him to have a lot of tackles. Secondary will be led by Nick Emenwori and Versatile DQ Smith. And here's my record for them this year. I do have them going 7-5 this year. I do think Clemson gets revenge, even though they are going to Williams-Brice. And that's going to be hard, but I think Clemson will redeem themselves from last year and get revenge in their rival. They will lose in Charlotte against North Carolina. They will lose at Georgia. They will lose at Tennessee. They will lose at Texas A&M. So the road will not be friendly for South Carolina, but they will win their home. Well, with the exception of Clemson, they will win their home games. So 7-5 is a good record to have, and that probably is a win above their floor. I think their floor could be 6-6, but I do have them going 7-5 this year.
I got them going 8-4. I have them actually beating Clemson, so I do have them losing to North Carolina in that first game, at Georgia, at Tennessee, and at Texas A&M. They will be right behind Georgia and Tennessee for in the SEC East. So 8-4 is an improvement from what they had last year, which I think was 7-5, I believe. Patrick could correct me on the record from last year, but Richard, I have the Gamecocks going better than Patrick's prediction of 7-5 with 8-4.
And that was 8-5 counting the bowl wins, so I guess I have them staying kind of at their level, but that still is a good record to have still. I mean, so you can keep the winning going, set yourself up for better futures down the road, and you're still gonna win a bunch of your SC East games. You'll lose two to the big dogs, but you'll still beat Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri, Florida. So that's not bad at all. So I think that's still a solid season.
And now to Coach Prime in the Colorado Buffs. And I'm excited to check out that game against TCU, which will be on Big Noon on Fox on September 2nd. And it's going to be a good time. I think Coach Sanders will bring Colorado back to their winning ways. I don't know if he'll have instant success this year, but next year when they make the move back to the Big 12 going back home, I believe that he will have Colorado ready to roll and compete with the big dogs, as Patrick said, in the Big 12. I have Colorado going 8-4. I have them losing at TCU, at Oregon, at UCLA with Chip Kelly at the helm. His team will be good even though they lose Dorian Thompson Robinson to the NFL. And then at Utah with Kyle Whittingham and I believe Carson Redding back at quarterback, Utah will be a good team this year and will be competing for the Pac-12, which will be the last iteration of the Pac-12 this season before it turns into the Pac-4 or meshing with the Mountain West. But Patrick and I will keep you updated on the remaining four schools of the Pac-12. Because, as I mentioned, Colorado next year will be going to the Big 12, going back home. And then UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington will be moving to the Big 10 to make it the Big 18 next year. And Utah, Arizona State, and Arizona will be joining Colorado next year to join the Big 12. But back to Colorado, 8-4 would be really optimistic, but 7-5 might be realistically what their record will be. But I'm rooting for Coach Prime and the Buffs to go 8-4.
Yeah, I have solid confidence that Coach Prime will turn this around relatively quickly. They did bring in the top transfer class in the country this year. They actually were a top 30 recruiting team, so that's pretty good for Colorado considering they only won one game last year. And also, and not only that, he brings in Kent State's offensive coordinator, well, I think former head coach, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
Sean Lewis, who is known for his flash, fast attack. They strike quickly and they run downhill and they score and they make a lot of plays. And it's all going to start with Coach Prime's son, Shadur Sanders, as the quarterback. He will have a lot of help with Jimmy Horn and Xavier Weaver at the receivers. Probably get some Travis Hunter too, who was the top recruit last year, if I'm not mistaken. And not only that, he will be helped by running backs Dylan Edwards and Alton McCaskill. Defense coordinator will be Charles Kelly, who coached under Nick Saban. So, you know, that's another coaching tree from Nick Saban that's going to help out a lot. And the main keys of that will be Shiloh Sanders, the other Deion Sanders' son, at safety. Cormaine McClain, hopefully I got the name right. And defensive linemen, Derek McClendon and Sevel Smalls. So I think they will have some talent there to work with. And I do have them going 7-5. They will lose at TCU, at Oregon, at UCLA. They will lose to Oregon State, and they will lose at Utah. But they will pull off a major upset when they beat USC this season. And I think that will send shockwaves throughout the college football world because of USC's expectations going in this year with their recruiting and Caleb Williams returning as a Heisman Trophy winner and Lincoln Riley and all the hype around that. But I think that they will pull off the upset of the year and take down USC and destroy their title hopes this year.
I agree with you with them beating USC.
So I think that will be a great first year for Coach Prime to lead a quick turnaround. And I think they will be set themselves up for a lot of success going forward, especially with the great transfer class. That was just remarkable. Just bringing the top one. You know, and that's what you need when you're a new coach going into a new situation. You were hired so late in the process. So you need those transfers coming in with you. I think that's going to help a lot, especially playing in Pac-12 competition before going back home to the Big 12.
And now to our conference championship game predictions. We're starting off with SEC. I have Georgia versus Alabama.
I have LSU versus Georgia. And I do have LSU winning the SEC championship game and then going 13-0. And saying themselves going back to the playoff.
We'll see about that. Now to the ACC, Florida State versus Drake May in North Carolina.
All Florida State versus North Carolina too. Those three are the clear. Are the Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina are the three best typically year in and year out. And I will have Florida State playing North Carolina like you did. So I I will share that too. And I have Florida State. I will have Florida State winning the ACC and taking down North Carolina this year.
I have Florida State winning the ACC. And for the SEC, I'm going with the defending two-time back-to-back champions, Georgia.
Okay. The Big Ten, I have Ohio State playing Wisconsin, and I have the Buckeyes reclaiming their throne. They've left the last 2 years go away with Michigan just obliterating them twice. And I think that Ohio State and Ryan Day are hungry to make that game a rivalry game again and to really reclaim their throne. And I have Ohio State playing Wisconsin, and I have Ohio State winning the Big Ten again.
I have Michigan with Jim Harbaugh versus Wisconsin, and I think Luke Fickell will have an impact with Wisconsin, and Michigan is loaded with J.J. McCarthy coming back at quarterback, Blake Corum leading that running back core, and, you know, the defensive side will be stout, and they will continue to bring that physicality against Ohio State and Ryan Day. Michigan will win the Big Ten. Now to the Big 12. Patrick and I, we have the same matchup, TCU versus Texas. And I am going to go with TCU just because they have had that experience from last year. But I would not be surprised to see if Texas won the Big 12 as the last, you know, hurrah before they go to the SEC with Oklahoma.
I have Texas winning the Big 12. I have Texas making their breakthrough this year. And in a year where I predict, and I think we both predict that it's going to be a loaded year with a lot of parity in the last year before the expansion. I think that this will be a testament to that. Texas, I have Texas winning, beating TCU and winning the Big 12 and returning to glory there. And in the Pac-12, I have USC playing Washington for the Pac-12 championship, and I have Washington winning. So like last year where USC got eliminated, they lost to Utah. I have the Washington Huskies being USC and winning the Pac-12 championship this year.
I have USC versus Oregon, and I'm going to go with USC. I think Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley will learn from last year and make amends and win the Pac-12 before they head off to the Big Ten, which should be called the Big 18 with how many teams they're going to have in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we will transition to the group of five. I'll start off with the American Athletic Conference. I have Tulane Green Wave playing UTSA, and I have Tulane. I have Tulane winning the American Athletic Conference. I believe they went last year, but I'm saying they did go to a big bowl game.
Yes.
And so they will repeat.
They won that big goal game against
USC.
Yeah.
Right. And I have them winning that and probably going back to the Cotton Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. Or whatever bowl, if that's going to be substituted in by the bowl, by the playoffs. I do have them going to a equivalent-like bowl, but still going back to the Cotton Bowl.
I have the same matchup with UTSA versus Tulane, and I am going to go with Tulane also, just having that experience. And I believe Coach Fritz will have them ready and just continue the what would be two great years of football for Tulane.
Absolutely. Go Green Wave. Now to the Conference USA, I have Western Kentucky playing Liberty, and I have Liberty winning the Conference USA. I think it's a great story. I mean, Liberty has risen as a football program in major college football for the past few years, and I think that this will be a continuation of that. And if I'm mistaken, if I remember correctly, they are the Flames. So go Flames!
Yes, I have that same matchup for Conference USA, and I am going to go with Western Kentucky. I believe they won it last year. Western Kentucky did, so I am rolling with them. And then for the MACtion, Ohio versus Toledo, and I am going with the defending champion, Ohio Bobcats.
And I have Toledo unseating Ohio and reclaiming the Battle of Ohio, I guess, winning the Battle of Ohio for this year. I have Toledo reclaiming that championship.
And the Mountain West, I have San Diego State against one of my favorite teams, Boise State. And I am going to go with the Boise State Broncos. I think they're going to get back to, dominance in the Mountain West. Recently, they have had some okay, solid years, but not like dominant years that they had in the late 2000s, early 2010s. So I think they will get back to that point by winning the Mountain West Conference.
And I agree. I have Boise State winning that conference too. I have them playing Air Force in the championship game. And I think that would be a great game. And I love seeing Air Force on TV and all those sort of scoutings on TV when they're playing big time teams. But Boise State will win. They will reclaim their dominance top the Mountain West.
And to the last one, the Sun Belt, I have Appalachian State versus Troy, who actually won it last year. Troy did. And I am rolling with Troy also.
Different than me, I have Coastal Carolina playing South Alabama, and I have the South Alabama Jaguars winning the Sun Belt Conference this year.
Now to the main segment, the college football playoff and national championship game prediction, and I will allow Patrick to give his four teams for the college football playoff and the national championship game, but I think I have an idea at least one of the teams that will be in there, because they predict them running the table, and if they weren't on there, that would be a little bit strange. Yes. Let's see how much they will win the national championship, or if he even thinks that they will win the national championship.
Well, in a year that I predict that there will be a lot of parity of really dominant teams and some good teams will be left out, a lot of one-loss teams probably, but that may not be the case. Last year was kind of topsy-turvy, and that seems to be the case along the way in college football. But my top four, my four teams that will be in the playoff, number one will be the LSU Tigers. Number two will be the Ohio State Buckeyes. Number three, the Georgia Bulldogs. And number four, the Texas Longhorns. And so that leaves that starts us off with a 1-4, LSU versus Texas Longhorns. That will be a tremendous game, a tremendous matchup. Sarkisian versus Matt House with that defense, or the offense versus defense matchup. Mike Denbrock against Texas defense. And obviously, I will have LSU emerging from that victorious to advance the title game in Houston at NRG. And then you have a rematch of last year, Georgia versus Ohio State. However, Ohio State will not get revenge for missing that field goal yet last year at midnight, New Year's Day on the dot. Georgia will again beat Ohio State and advance to another All-SEC National Championship game, where the LSU Tigers will reclaim their championship and Brian Kelly becomes the third head coach at LSU to win the championship in year two in the 2023 year or season for that matter, along with Kim Mulkey and Jay Johnson. The LSU Fighting Tigers football team will be your 2023 national champions.
I have Georgia number one, two Michigan, three Alabama, four Florida State. I have Florida State facing the back-to-back national champion. It's going to be a tough game for Mike Norvell and Florida State. Kirby Smart and those dogs will have that experience in the playoff and gets a little bit more talent on the field. I think it'll be a classic, and it won't be like what happened to Michigan 2 years ago when they played against Georgia, but I have Georgia winning. And then the matchup that I've been waiting for a few years, Nick Saban versus Jim Harbaugh with Michigan versus Alabama, and I have Jim Harbaugh outing Nick Saban, because I believe that their experience on that side recently will help out over what arguably is the GOAT, Nick Saban, in college football. And I guess think that it will set up for a Georgia versus Michigan matchup, where I have Georgia completing the three-peat with a score of 31-28 over Jim Harbaugh and Michigan.
Wow, pretty good giving, Michigan a three-point loss to them. And since we're getting out scores, I'm probably going to say LSU. I will say LSU will beat Georgia in that game 38-28.
Not 45-0?
Nah, I gotta give that team with the talent and the coaching enough credit to make it interesting. Remember, because we will have played each other. That'll be three times over the last 13 months. 13 months. That's a lot. That's a lot to be playing Georgia. But I mean, but still, familiarity will be there, and it will be a tremendous game.
We'll see what happens. But to recap, I have Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Florida State making it to the college football playoff. National championship game, Georgia versus Michigan, with Georgia winning it 31-28, completing the historic three-peat, which has not been done in the college football playoff era. And Patrick has LSU, Texas.
One LSU, two Ohio State, three Georgia, four Texas. I have LSU playing Georgia for the national championship at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. LSU fans, you better get out there. It's Houston, not too far away. And LSU will dethrone Georgia for SEC and national championship dominance, and they will win another national championship, their fourth in the millennium decade, in the millennium century.
I guess don't know if Jalen Daniels is that quarterback like Mr. Cool Joe Burrow. I don't know if he could be able to lead you guys to the promised land. Well, also, I don't know if Brian Kelly could be able to lead you guys to the promised land. Because when he's been in playoff games, it was with his time at Notre Dame and playing against Alabama or Clemson, where they get their butts whooped. We'll see how he does if LSU gets to the college football playoff.
And it would definitely be a great accomplishment for Coach Kelly and that team. It would be a continuation of what he's done. And also, if we can just improve the offensive line play, prevent the sacks on Jaden Daniels, we will be good to go. And I feel good about that. I feel good about Coach Kelly. I feel good about the entire staff. Matt House, Mike Denbrock, the players we brought in for our sixth-ranked recruiting class, our second-ranked transfer class, and the players that we have returning, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels. Let's get this thing going. Josh Williams, Noah Kane, John Emery Jr., Mason Smith, McKee Wingo, Harold Perkins, all those players. Let's get ready. Let's have a great season, and let's bring the championship back to the Bayou. Let's win number four in the millennium century.
All right, you heard it from Patrick. He's super excited for his LSU Tigers, and I would not be surprised, you know, how he is feeling that way. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. I believe this year will be one of the greatest years of college football, and hopefully whoever you root for will have a successful season and have a chance to play for a spot in the college football playoff and compete for the national championship. And David Horton out.
Patrick Berglas signing off.